So I wanted to kind of look into, we saw a lot of the ports and the port expansion, what was going on there. I wanted to kind of look inland, because you don't need to live near a port to be concerned about goods movement and global trade, as the map that demonstrated where the industry is targeting for its new distribution centers. The hubs are inland. They're not at the ports. So we really need to be aware of what that bigger plan is and what the impacts are. So this is a map of California. And the Riverside, San Bernardino counties that that we work in are in the inland part. They cover more than 30,000 square miles, huge areas. They have over 400 million people living in that area. It's an area that is considered, it's a desert part of California. Most people don't have much respect for deserts. They do for forests, but not for deserts. It's seen as this wasteland of empty space where you can just go and plop whatever you want to. So we've, over the history in Southern California, we've received the toxic waste sites like Stringfellow. We've received proposals for the biggest garbage dump in the arms of Joshua Tree National Park, because there's nobody who lives out there except for the people who live out there. So as you can see, we're about 60 miles from the ports of Los Angeles going east. And the arrow is pointing to Mira Loma, which is one of the first areas that really got hit with the distribution centers. Starting in 1997, we saw a huge influx of these million square foot buildings showing up that really transformed our community. And I think I have a couple of shots I'll show you. We not only have pollution that we generate, but we get the pollution that blows in from the coast, from the ports, out to the inland valleys, where it gets trapped by the mountains that surround our valley. And so we end up with very high levels of particulate pollution, known as having some of the highest in the nation in that particular area. This is another shot that kind of shows how the pollution migrates as it goes inland, and then it gets trapped. So we have this really heavy basin of pollution that emerges. This is a shot when we have, when we have Santa Ana winds, which kind of hold back some of the air pollution. You can actually see it as this wall sitting there waiting to invade you. We have great air quality when the Santa Ana's blow, but that's what's waiting for us. In Mira Loma, we have 64% of the children in the area are low-income families. Two of the schools in the area report as high as 95% low-income. 65% Hispanic, and it's growing. We have a large immigrant population. And the asthma rates are quite high in our area. This is what Mira Loma looked like just a few years ago. This is one of our thoroughbred ranches that we had. It was an agricultural area, dairies, vineyards, very beautiful area with our rolling hills around it. So we had a lot of beautiful vistas going on, wide open spaces. Today, this is what it looks like. The streets, our rural streets, are clogged with trucks. We have the rail coming in. The trucks park wherever they want. They usually drive over the no stopping signs, so they have to keep putting them up. It doesn't do much good. You see the houses in the upper left corner. The white building is one of the warehouses, so it's been built right next to these homes, where people say, you know, I've not only have the trucks and the pollution, but they've stolen my view of the mountains. So there's a lot of different impacts that hit the community. The agricultural area that we had, then with these huge buildings that pop up, they're tip-ups, so that they're put up within like 2 weeks. You go from a barren land to these huge buildings. And you see the trucks invade the community. In many ways. They get onto the rural streets, our residential streets. They can't make the turns. They run over the yards. I've got one shot, which I don't think is in this one, of a little child's toy sitting right next to where the truck is driving. It's pretty, hits people in a lot of different ways. So this is now the valley. Think back to the big open fields and the vineyards. This is now what it looks like with these mega warehouses surrounded by our mountains. That is the inland valleys of Riverside and San Bernardino. And this is what our streets look like with the trucks everywhere. At one particular place on Etiwanda, leading into some of the warehouse areas, we've counted more than 800 trucks an hour, less than 20 feet from homes. This particular street right here. Above that is the rail line that feeds into the UP rail yard that is directly next to our school. So what you see here is the rail yard, UP's auto distribution center. It's the largest in the world. And at the lower edge is the high school. So that we have a very high level of exposure from the trucks coming in delivering these autos and where the kids' athletic field is. And so we've been able to close the southern gate between the two and force the trucks to go to the northern gate. So at least we've averted some of that exposure to the students. It's a shot of the kids playing with the trucks in and out. So as a result, the Inland Valleys have some of the highest PM10 in the nation, the highest 2.5, and we also have the highest ozone levels in the San Bernardino area. We're known through the World Health Organization as having the fourth highest particulate pollution in the world, only after Jakarta, Calcutta, and Bangkok, although China is catching up, and we have a lot of communities in China now that are at that same levels. USC and their children's health study and the researchers there have done a phenomenal job of being able to document what is going on. And in Mira Loma, they have found that the children of Mira Loma have the slowest lung growth and the weakest lung capacity of all children studied due to particulate pollution. So we have very concrete evidence on our children. This shows some of the monitoring that was done, the 825 trucks that go by in an hour. This is where they're going by, the backyard of the home. So it really is at the fence line where all of these impacts are being experienced. This is Mira Loma Village, 101 homes, predominantly Latino, that is surrounded by all the warehouses. The red are the warehouses. We had earlier in about 1990 gotten a buffer zone around this housing tract so that we kept the diesel pollution away from the homes. The science was telling us the closer you are to a diesel source, the greater the health risk. So we were able to get that. We now have a new owner, Obayashi, who has decided to build warehouses to the fence line. And the County of Riverside has just approved that last week, despite all the evidence. We stopped the inland port, which would have built a huge complex where the containers from the ports would be railed to this facility, and then all of the trucks would converge here to distribute it. We were able to get that one stopped. But you see in the orange the warehouse area that is being proposed. So we've been organizing quite a bit to stop all of that. In San Bernardino on the west side, again, similar community, high Latino population and African American, and very poor, household income very low, and you see how far it is. It has a rail yard, the BNSF rail yard, that is quite large. As you see, this kind of reverse seven up here is the rail yard, and surrounding it is residential. And you see next to their park and their child care center and homes just how massive this place is. This is right in the residential area. As a result of the HRA that was done, we found that the San Bernardino rail yard has a cancer risk of 3,300 in a million, a huge risk for people. Again, some of the other, when you put it into context with dry cleaners, gas stations, power plants, or even refineries, you see the difference in the cancer risk. This is really quite astonishing. Try and go through and get some of those ideas. We know that, you know, the science is telling us that exposure to diesel is extremely risky. It poses a great health risk. And we've been able to document. If you look at this, as AQMD has, this is the cancer risk without diesel for Southern California. This is the cancer risk with diesel. So it poses 70% of the cancer risk in Southern California comes from diesel emissions. some of the statistics which we know, we see how the closer you are to the freeways, the higher the levels are, especially of the fine particles. When you're starting looking at the particulate levels, what we're now finding, what the science is showing us, is that the ultrafines, really, really small pieces, the aerosols or vapors, are really where the health risk is coming from, and they can go through the cell membrane, transfer into the body to all different organ systems, so they pose the greatest. The problem is that they're also, while related to all of the heart attacks, asthma, lung, brain tumors, premature death, all of that, that we're finding that it's associated with a lot more. And unfortunately, a lot of the policies that we're putting forward are not addressing the ultrafines and the vapors. So while we're doing clean trucks, clean ports, the traps, the low sulfur fuel, we're not addressing the ultrafines and those vapors, which poses the risk. And so I think we're right now at a point of really looking at whether our policies that we've been advocating all along, given the new science, is really the direction we should be going. I mean, as a person who's overweight, I know I can buy bigger clothes, I know I can wear black, I'll look a little slimmer, if I have vertical stripes, even better, but I'm not getting to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is I need to change my lifestyle. I need to change the types of food that I'm eating, the portions, and I need to exercise. It's very, very difficult. I think we're at that point with diesel. We're now finding out that you can't just simply put a trap on it. You can't just buy new equipment. That diesel itself is the problem. And how are we going to address that? That's going to be a big one. We know we've done it with tobacco. You know, we learned that filter cigarettes didn't solve the problem. We know that low tar cigarettes didn't do it. We came to the point when the science was so clear, we have to stop smoking. If we're going to save our people, if we're going to stop the death, that's what's got to happen. So those of us who are in the front lines of this industry are really at that critical point. Are we really investing our time and energy in the appropriate policies, or have we reached the point where we really need to take on the industry and get rid of diesel? And for us to do that, just like with the tobacco fight, we need the public health community at the forefront. So far, that has not happened. We attend hearings. We do not see the public health departments, public health advocates there for us. And that's where I think we need to go. Thanks.